In the Moreshes Moshe, he has an essay which I was totally unaware of. I only found it last night. And it's called Be'inyan Chaticha Nasis Nevela Bilach in Basa B'chola. So he goes back to the Gemara of Rav on Daf Kuf Ches, Sova Rav Efshal Isoto Osur Vayitmar Kizayis Basa Shenofal Itof Yorish Al Cholov Omar Rav Basar Osur V'Cholov Mutar V'Isak Daitach Efshal Isoto Osur Cholov Amayim Mutar Cholov Nevelahu. So Rashi says that what was bothering the Gemara, that if a little bit of chalav got absorbed in basar, and now we have nevela. Now, when this basar kishechozer v'niflat, what happens is that since the kizayis basar fell into a yorish al chalav, that basar is now going to be polate the tam of the cholov that's within, because again there was no bitul b'shishim in the basar against the cholov, and Rashi interprets that now the cholov going back into this kedera, which is a yorish al cholov, is a mixture called min b'mino, and Rav holds that min b'mino lo bata. So now what's happening here is that the chalav itself becomes, according to Rashi, a nevela. Why? Because we have a principle in basa b'chalav that chaticha nasis nevela. So that now the chalav itself, which gave tam into the basar, becomes nevela. But with regard to the rest of the chalav, we have a tarovis of min b'mino. That's fine. Says the Ran, Yesh lo chiyach mikan shedin chaticha nas nevela nemar b'tarovish alach velach. In other words, when we're saying that the piece of meat that absorbed the taste of the milk is now being polate, it's being polate the cholav. Otherwise, it's not going to be min b'mino. And what that means is that the cholav itself is a chefza di sura, which we call chaticha nasis nevela, and it is lach. Says the Ran, we see from here that chaticha nasis nevela applies to lach, applies to the cholov as well. Again, you could have said the following, that chaticha nasis nevela only applies to a davar gush, a davar yavesh, let's say, and that would be the basar itself. But then, how are you going to explain min b'mino? Because if this chalav is now you know, distributed, it's spread throughout the basar, then it's the basar that's giving tam into the yorish al chalav, and that's min d'sheinom, you know. And according to Rashi and all the Rishonim that we have so far, what the Gemara is attacking is Rav, and how could Rav possibly say that the cholov is mutter? The cholov can't be mutter because it's a tarovis of min b'mino. That's the Gemara's objection. Why is it min b'mino? Because the cholov is now niflat into cholov. That's called min b'mino. And that cholov became nevela through the process of tipas cholov shenofla al chaticha. And now it's saying that chaticha nas nevela applies even to a davar lach. Now again, you and I might think, big deal. Like, why is that considered a revolution discovering America? We're going to soon see that the Ravid holds that there's no din of chaticha nas nevela in the case of lach. And that's against this Rashi, because Rashi's saying that the Gemara's objection to Rav, and that is, how could Rav possibly say that efsho lesoto is asur? If that be the case, then how are we able to be matir the cholov in this yoreh? It's a tarovus of min b'mino according to Rav. So when the Gemara asks the question, this sava Rav efshel soto osava itmar kizayis basa shenofal l'tov yoreh shel cholov, And Omar Rav, Basar Asur. But for Chalav Mutar, and that means that the Basar and the Chalav are not to be treated as Basar and Chalav, because again, if you treat it as Basar and Chalav, then it would be Min B'She'eno Mino. And the Gemara says, am I Mutar? How could Rav say that the Chalav is Mutar? After all, the Chalav is Nevela. So it means that the Gemara understood that Chaticha Nasis Nevela applies to the Chalav. And the Chalav is a Cheftza Visura of Basma Chalav. And when that Chalav gets mixed up with other Chalav, it's going to be a Tarobas of Min Bimino. Hence, how could Rav say, that's Gemara's Kasha, that the Chalav is Mutar? How could the Chalav be Mutar when it's a Tarobas of Min Bimino? Says the Ran, you see clearly from Rashi that the halach of chaticha nasis nevela applies even to a situation of lach. Now let's fast forward to the Ravid. The Ravid says that even in basa b'cholov, there's no din of chaticha nasis nevela b'dover lach. So I just wanted to point this out, that according to the Ravid, there's no chaticha nasis nevela in dover lach. We have to understand why that's so. He quotes the Yeshuas Yaakov. Does anybody know who he was? Orenstein was his name. So, Rav Yaakov Orenstein, he was one of those Lamdanim that came from Galicia. So he says the following. He says, lo nemar din chaticha nasis nevela b'lach, kevan shu nivlal, v'ein tam nirgash. I'm going to read that again because I think it's a major breakthrough. He's saying that the whole concept of chaticha nasis nevela is based on the fact that there's a tam of, let's say, chalav that's given into the basar, right? So now the chalav penetrates into the basar, gives a tam into the basar, there's no shishim, and now that basar becomes nevela. But in the case of lach, he says, he cannot apply the mechanics of chaticha nasis nevela because lach is called a dover hanivlal milashon blila, which means that whatever falls into lach now gets completely separated and distributed amongst in the entire mixture of lach. And what do you gain by that? Ein hatam nirgash. There's no way you can taste that tam in a case of nivlal, of blila, in a case of a tarovis of lach. However, that has to apply in a case of min b'she'eno mino. If it's min b'mino, then at least according to Rav Yehuda and Rav, except Rav Yehuda, you can have a problem of afilu b'elef lo bata. So what I want to study with you now, based on this Yeshuas Yaakov, is the concept that lach is called nivla. And as a result, he says, v'eina tam nirgash, because the tam is so distributed amongst the lach that it spread out that it cannot implement or cause a tam nirgash. Now, I gave out a photocopy here from the Shiurei HaRav, and I hope you have it in front of you. If not, it's here. So you can look at it, look for it here. And the page that I want to find here, just that we're all on the same page, is going to be Resh Yud. One second. I just want to make sure I'm on the right page myself. One second. Where's the Shach? Oh, I'm on the wrong page. Yes. Oh, see if you can find. Page page Resh Aleph. In this sefer called Shi'uri Arav. So I want to investigate with you this concept of Lach being a Dover HaNivlal. Right, that was the language of Rav Yaakov Orenstein. He starts here with a Tosfos, I'm sorry, with a Gemara in Psach. The Gemara is on Daf Ayin Vav in Psach. And here's the case. Cham letoch tzonin. So normally we paskin like Shmuel that tatoi govar, and that means that the cham on the bottom is heating up the tzonin on top. But what happens is the reverse. It's the cham that falls into tzonin. So the Gemara says tzarech klipa, that in this case he has to remove a klipa. Why? So the Gemara says that even though we don't have tatoi gomar over here, Adarabba, we have a case in which tatoi gomar means that the cold on the bottom is cooling off the hot on the top, but adin maikir le, until it cools it off, he efshed lo bola purta klipa. So although the process is one of cooling off, because the tzonin is on the bottom, and if the tzonin is on the bottom and we hold tatoi gomar, that means that the tzonin on the bottom is cooling off the hot on the top. But that's not going to happen immediately. It doesn't mean, you know, again, you can imagine that the hot water is coming in, right? That's an example of cham letov tzonin. So what are you going to tell me, that in a split second the cold on the bottom is going to cool off the hot on the top? There's going to be a little bit of a cham issue over here. In other words, at some point the cham, when it touches the sonen, there's going to be a passage of time, a transfer of time. Why? Because at that moment of contact, there is cham. Again, it's cham on top, and it's in the process of being cooled off, but it's now cham. And that's called klipa. Now, Rav Soloveitchik understands that this requirement of klipa is not just some sort of chumrah, you know, the Rabbanan, you know, in the mood to add a chumrah over here, but rather it's me'ikar din blia. There is a blia, despite the fact that we're involved in a process of hitstananus, meaning of the cham being cooled off by the cham on the top being cooled off by the tzonin on the bottom. But nevertheless, even within that process, which is hitstananus, where something is ademaikerle, nevertheless, it's iefshadulo bola purta. There is some element of blia. Because of the hot isu. How does that element of blia express itself? In what din, Rabosai? Klipa. So it's really fascinating because we can create an entire hierarchy of dine blia. We can have, for example, bishul, and that's going to be asur kulo. If there's no shishim, everything is asur. And that blia is all-encompassing. It penetrates into every single particle of food in the bishul. Let's fast forward to the other extreme. We have something called hadacha. If you recall, we discussed putting heter down on a surface of isur that's totally cold. And at that point, you have to take the heter, let's say a potato, and you have to do hadach. Now, in between these two polar extremes, we have two other concepts in dinei blia. We have something called kidei netila, which requires that you really strip off a whole layer around the outskirts of the basar. And then we have something less radical, which is called klipa. It's not netilas etzba, but it's a klipa. Klipa means just simply removing some sort of surface level where there was contact between cold and hot.
But only at the contact point.
Only what?
Only at the contact point.
Good. I'm a cop. But the main point is that in the Rav's frame of reference, we have a new, with this concept of klipa, we have a new breakthrough in Hilchus, in the whole constellation of Blia. The Rav uses the terminology Blias Sonin. But the Rav says there is such thing as a Blias Sonin. We saw it in the case of Adocha, now we're seeing it on an upgraded level in the case of Klipa. So when the Cham goes into the Tzonin, then the Tzonin itself, at point of contact, is the passive recipient of what he calls a Blias Sonin. And how does this Blias Sonin express itself? In Klipa. But now we have Ramon. So Ramon Simon Sadi Aleph says that what happens if there's no possibility of klipa? Habosats are klipa, the low kill food. That's not nice. They should have done klipa, but they didn't do it. Ubishlua kach, they cooked it with the klipa. Sachter Amma Mutter b'di'evad. What? How could that be? Mutter b'di'evad. The klipa itself absorbed the time of Isur. And now he goes ahead and he cooks the basar without taking off the klipa. So the Rambam says everything's mutter. How can you reconcile that? The Rambam is saying no, that when you require klipa, it's because of the miktas blia. He calls it a blia tzonin. But that's a blia of a tam of isur. How can you tell me that just because he cooked it, it's mutter b'di'evad? But not only is the Ramah stepping into a logical, how should I say, contradictory position or paradoxical position, but moreover, the Ramah seems to be contradicting Tosfos in Masechet Chulin on Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. That's at the end of the previous parak called Gid Anasha. Tosfos says that Klipa Oseres Afilu B'di'evet. What's the case? This is the famous case of Yerech Shenis Bashla B'Gid. We're holding out Gid, Yesh B'Gid in Menosei Tam. And now, Tosis says, if the Yerech itself was now cooked in a second Kedera, Tosis says it's not enough to get Shishim in that second Kedera against the Yerech, but in addition you need Shishim against the Yerech plus what? Klipa. It's got to be A plus B. What do you see? You see that Tosis holds that Klipa is something that has a Blia of Isur. You're going to need Shishim to be Mevatel that Blia. And then we're in trouble with the Ramah, because the Ramah is telling us that b'di'evad everything's mutter. Here's a case which is addressed by Tosfos, where he was mevashel the gid anosha inside the animal without removing it, and Tosfos says you can't be matir the other parts of this tarobis, or the other food stuff in the pot, unless you have shishim against klipa. How can the Ramah say that once he cooks it, there's no iser whatsoever of klipa? So we have two extremes here. We have Tosfos and Chulin, who says that you need shishim against the klipa, and then we have the Ramah, who says that once you went in, you mevashel it, you don't even need klipa. So Mikvegev quotes among Avram, I think it's from Hilchos Pesach, and he says the following, that only in the case of Tatoi Govar, which was Cham L'Tov Tzonen, then the requirement of Klipa is only a Chumra B'Alma. And that Chumra B'Alma is formulated by the Gemara as Ad Meker Le Bola Kidei Klipa. However, B'Dievet, everything's Mutter. Why? Because this din of Klipa is only a Chumra B'Alma. Why? Because we assume that the halacha is Tatoi Gova. So in other words, this Rabbi Kiveger is saying that when the Gemara of Sochim established that Cham L'Tov Tzonen requires Klipa, that requirement of Klipa is just a Chumra B'Alma. And therefore it's only L'Chatchila and it doesn't Aser B'Dievet. It's like a case of Kriya and Chal, you know, that according to the Lishna Kama of Rav in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Tes, if he didn't do the Kriya and he cooked it, everything's mutter. The Chal is mutter. Here also, he didn't remove the Klipa and he cooked it, everything is mutter. But that's what the Rav can't understand. How can you say everything is mutter when there was a bliya in the case of Cham L'Tov Tzonen? So there's a bliya of Isur. So you're allowed to take a bliya of Isur and cook it and say that now that it's cooked, it's already a b'dievet situation and we're not gonna make a big deal about it? So what are you gonna tell me, like the Magen Avraham, that the requirement of klipa is only a chumra? The Rav says it's not a chumra. It's either make it like bol like purta. There is a bliya. And if there is a blia, then we're going to need shishim against that blia. How could the rabbis say, well, there was a blia, but it's only lechatchila, but the evidence cooked it, where did the Yisr go? You know, follow me? If there was a blias sonen, and that expresses itself in the requirement of klipa, what happens? So, you know, how does it dissipate? So we have two kashas. Number one, we don't understand the logic of the Rambam to say that lo bishlu, lo kolfu bishlu mutter, and secondly, we don't understand how to reconcile this Rambam with Tosfos, because Tosfos explains that klipo seres afil b'dievet. That's why you need shishim against the klipo, according to the Rambam. There's no need to establish, according to Rambam, there's no need to establish a blia over here. It's only a din lechatchila to do klipa. But lo kilfu bishlu kach mutter. I mean, how do you reconcile that with Tosa? Tosa says you need shishim against the klipa. It means the klipa is really holding on to Isur. It's not just a figment of or an expression. It's real. It's a real blia. So at this point, the Shach is going to invite Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam in Psochim on Daf Ayin Vav Amin Beis says that in the case of Lach, we don't apply Klipa. Why is that so? He says Lo Shaya Klipa Kigon Becholov. How are you going to take off a klipa in a liquid surface? That you can't do. Is therefore af below klipa. It's very strange. I mean, we're saying on the one hand that a klipa is asur, and then we're saying that if the problem is chalav, is a davar lach, then how do you understand this? So again, what's happening here? We'll go over it step by step. You have two cases. You have Cham L'Tov Tzonen, where the Gemara says you require klipa, and then the Ramah adds, but b'di'evad, if you cooked it, you know, everything's mutter. And then we have the Tosus in a case of Yerach Shenispashel Bagid, and there we require klipa, and there Tosus says you need shishim against the klipa. So now the Shach introduces another element, and that is Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam basically says that klipa is only requirement when it's possible, when it's plausible. But in a case where there's no shaychus of klipa, then there is no klipa. You follow what I mean? There's no requirement of klipa. What's the case of Rabbeinu Tam that there's no klipa? Well, that's the case of a double lach. You know, you can't strip off the surface level of a liquid substance. So if we assume, which is a gigantic assumption, that the Ramah accepted the shita of Rabbeinu Tam,
Why is the lock, there's no liquid, because
a liquid doesn't lend itself to klipa. So the Ramah understood that if you can't take off the klipa, then it's not awesome.
What does the Shach want to say?
Mean?
The liquid doesn't lend itself to klipa.
There's no way physically that you can strip it of its surface level because it's a double lock. Well, for example, you already cooked it. You know, if you already cooked it, then how are you going to take off klipa? Where is the klipa?
No, but the lach touched the outer surface of the meat. So why are we talking about the lach here? We're talking, you know, you strip it off the meat, not off the challah.
But why not from the challah itself? Right. Let's assume
no such thing.
Right, so that's exactly Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam saying, since there's no such thing, therefore the whole requirement of klipa go. You would have said, if not for Rabbeinu Tam, okay, you can't do the klipa, then get shishim against the klipa. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no, if you can't do the klipa, then there's no requirement of klipa. The whole entity of klipa is completely invalid.
Then the chatila should be lupa.
Good, we'll get to that in just a minute. But again, let's just try to understand the shach. The Shach is saying that when the Ramah says that if you went ahead and you were mevashel without taking out of the klipa, it's mutter, says the Shach, that Ramah is based on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was matir in the case of lach. What was the logic of Rabbeinu Tam? That lo shayach be klipa. You can't do klipa in a davar lach. Says the Shach, let's take Rabbeinu Tam and apply it to the case of the Ramah. Just like in Rabbeinu Tam's frame of reference, you cannot take off the klipa in lach. It just doesn't happen. So too, in a case where you were avar b'bishel, so you had this case of cham l'totzonin, and then you cooked it without taking out the klipa, at this point, everything is mixed up together. You can't take off the klipa.
Well, before you
difference mutter.
Before you go any further, then lach creates a problem. But let's say we're not talking about lach altogether. We're talking about
yavish.
Okay. And there was a they were touching and that's the area of the klipa. Okay. Now, before anybody could do anything about it, somebody came and cut off the piece of meat that had the klipa in it.
And he cooked it.
Yeah.
Right.
He cooked that.
So the Ramah says everything's mutter.
He cooked that by itself.
All right, but let's say he cooked it in a way that he can't take out the klipa.
It's all klipa. He took the klipa off. And he put the klipa into a...
So then that's also, right? The klipa is also. That's not what the Ramah is saying. The Ramah is saying is that in a case where you, as a result of cooking, you can't take out the klipa, then everything's mutter. And we don't need shishim, we don't need batich, nothing. And the Shach wants to connect that to Rabbeinu Tam in the case of lach. So Rav Salveitchik doesn't understand this Shach. He says... how can you tell me that something was asur and now it became mutter? Right, initially, as a result of let's talk about chamu tochtsonim, there was a blia which we called a blia b'miktsas a blia tsonim, which was kedei klipa. Now you're gonna what are you gonna do? You're gonna tell me, well, now I can't take out the klipa, and therefore everything's mutter. I mean, where did the Issa disappear?
Exactly.
You know, and the Gemara says kedusha l'bay paka. You know, where did it disappear? In thin air? How can you change the Issur into heter by saying, well, he went ahead and he cooked it? The din of the klipa should depend upon the moment of blia. If at the moment of blia there was a blia of klipa, then that klipa is a blia, has a blia surah, or it itself is a blia surah. What are you going to tell me that now he went ahead and he cooked it, and something that had a blia surah just completely, you know, dissipates into thin air? And moreover, Tosfos that we mentioned about Yerach in the special Gid, he's talking about a case where he removed the basar and the klipa from the kedera, and yet you need shishim against the tam of the klipa, which means that even though the klipa is not to be found, and obviously you can't do klipa on something that's not to be found, but nevertheless it still remains a blia asura, to the extent to which I need shishim now against, Tosa says, not just the Yerech, I'm sorry, not just the Giranosha, but also I need shishim against the klipa. The Tosfos makes absolute sense, because if you have a klipa, then that gets mishkabaled in the tarovis, and you need shishim to get rid of the tam of the klipa, even though you removed the klipa together with the yerech. So you took the yerech out of the mixture. That yerech has a gidanosh in it, which was cooked. And now Tosfos says that klipa, insofar as it's tam ki'ika, basically Tosfos is saying we apply the principle of tam ki'ika to the klipa. Why? Because this klipa absorbed a tam of isur, and now when you cook the tam of klipa together with all this heter, you're going to need shishim against the tam of the klipa. If you need shishim against the tam of the klipa in a case where there's nothing left, you took out the basar, you took out the, what's left is just the tam of the klipa, how much more so in the case of cham b'toch tzonim? You went and you cooked it, and you needed to take off klipa because there was a blia of iser up to klipa's worth. Where's your shishim against the klipa? And here's a case where the ban is left in the tarovis. It's a kal v'chomer. If Tosfos requires shishim against the klipa when the klipa is not even there, and all you have is the tam of the klipa, how much more so if the klipa is there and you didn't take it out, you can eat shishim against that klipa, and yet the Ramah says that once it was cooked, everything's mutter. What do you mean everything's mutter? Do you have shishim? You don't have shishim. The Ramah says it's irrelevant. So the Rav now wants to reinterpret the shot. And it all comes down to this concept of a tarovis of lach, which is a concept that I wanted to address today. We had a discussion here about whether chaticha nasis nevela applies in the case of lach. And we said the following, that there may be a consensus that in Shar Isurim there's no Chaticha Nas Nevela in Lach. The Ravid went a step further and he said even in Basa Mecholav there's no Chaticha Nas Nevela in Lach. What does that mean? Why is that so? So on this we have a Rebbe Kivei. We've been studying Siman Tzadi Aleph. Now we're going to fast forward to Tzadi Beis. And Rabbi Kiveger in Tzadi Beis says the following. Hainu taima to law amrinan chanan belach. And this is where we saw the Yeshua's Yaakov, if you remember. Bibnei shakol mitztarev levatel es ha'isur. Why is it that Rabbi Kivega says hakol mitztarev levatel es ha'isur? And that's going to undermine Chanan. He says the following, that in order to apply Chanan, you have to have a tam of Isur that penetrated into this piece of meat, let's say chalav that fell into the meat, that it was the sinas tam. So we can look at this piece of meat, which is a davar yavesh, and we can say Chanan, that the taste of cholov now permeates throughout this piece of meat. But in a case of lach, then what we're going to say is that we don't view the isa as if it fell here, there, or elsewhere, because the entire mixture of lach is mitztarev to form one entity. And that's why you can't say chatichanas is the veil. Because everything is given its tariff, and you're going to be able to be mevatel the isa.
Wait a minute, he's not doing the same. That's not the reasoning that because there's nothing to take off.
No. That's not what we're saying. What we're doing is we're trying to create a structure of lach that perhaps could explain the shach with regard to klipa, right? We want to know, right, why is it that b'di'eved, if he went and he cooked it without taking out the klipa, then it's mutter. Why is that so? I mean, we're talking about a b'li'as isur that required klipa, and now it was cooked. Where's the shisha? No, the whole thing is mutter. Says the shach, everything is mutter. He doesn't give us a clue why. He just says lo shayach klipa, because now we can't find the klipa to remove it. But that still doesn't answer the question that we're asking. Namely, the tam of the klipa has now spread, and we need shishim against the klipa. Says the shach, no, we don't need shishim against the klipa. Forget it. Everything's mutter. It was a mekach tos. I thought the klipa was osur. It's not osur. When 5 minutes ago we said about this klipa in the case of chamul totzonin, that it has a b'li'as isur, and we asked the question, how did that b'li'as isur just dissipate into thin air? And the answer is through the principle of lach, meaning the bishul is going to accomplish something called lach, and that lach is going to explain to us why this klipa, once it's cooked, does not generate an isur in the tarokas. So what is this principle called lach? Lach means some sort of an indivisible tarokas. Not invisible, but indivisible. Make sure we... Right? You cannot break it down into its component parts. This tarokas is one entity. It's nivlal. It's lach. And that facilitates the distribution of the isur throughout the lach. And if we have shishim, then we can be mevatel that isur. So where do we have the precedent here for this breakthrough understanding of lach, that everything is mitztarev because it's lach? That we have in the sugya of chaticha nasas nevel. If we hold like those Rishonim, that chaticha nasas nevel could not apply to a double lach, what we're going to have to say is that all the forces of the lach join together, shoulder to shoulder, in order to be mevatel the tam isur.
Yeah, they never say anywhere that that there has to be a negatition. But if there is, what if there's a tiny teaspoonful of lach? That's all lach you have. I mean, they never say anything. They don't say what quantity of lach you need.
Again, the amount of lach you'll need will change depending upon the size of the chaticha, but do you need shishim against the entire chaticha? Says the Rashba and others, no, you don't need shishim against the chaticha. Why? Because of lach. Once it's lach, there is no chaticha nasis nevela to require shishim against the entire chaticha.
Why is it not?
Also, that's what we're asking. What happened to the principle of chanan? Why did it disappear in the case of lach? And Rabbi Kivega offers the following mechanics here. How does lach work? It's called hakol mitztarif levatel as a isur, which means that normally what we're going to say is that when this tipas chola falls into the chaticha, now in this chaticha we have a tav cholov, and now I need shishim against the chaticha. That's called chanan. But what we're going to say now is that once there's a mixture of lach, then that tipas cholov loses its identity in the greater lach. Why? Because in lach, everything's mitztarev to be mevatel yisur. Then we're going to say that we're not going to say chanan in a case of yavish that became lach. Now, how do you transform yavish into lach? And the answer is there are two ways of doing so. Either risuk, you know, you take a davar yavish and you pound it. Take a davar yavish and what you do is you pound the tam chola throughout the davar yavish, right? So now I need shishim against the yavish. Why? Because that tam chola is concentrated in its various parts of the davar yavish. Mashenken in lach, where I have the ability, says Rav Kivega, to tzarif the whole thing, so that that tipas cholov now loses its identity in the cholov of the entire kedera, because that's already lach balach. Now we're going to apply that same principle to the Ramah, who says that when you need klipa in the case of chavon tov tzonen, then if you went ahead and you cooked it, everything is mutter. The reason everything is mutter because is what you've done is what you've accomplished is you've changed yavish into lach. How do you convert yavish into lach? Through the cooking process. And that's like risuk. Like we said before, if you would take a dover yavish and you would crush it, it would become a dover lach. So too, when you take something like a klipas basar and you cook it in a kedera, what happens is that all the lach in this kedera is mitztarev, and it can be mevatel that time. So there's no way or room to say chaticha nasis nevela. So now, if you go on to page Resh Gimel, okay, I see we ran out of time for now. So let's take. So I just want to read this inside.
Yeah, go ahead.
He says Hanir b'kavona sashach dehini aramah hevi das asovrim. And this was the Ravid, as we said, the law of reading chatichanas is available b'tarovus lach b'lach. Beheir shav b'chidusha b'kiveger. What's the logic behind? Hainu time the law of reading chatichanas is available b'lach. Mipnei shakol mitztarif levatel asa isur. Umemela hu adinami lo amrina chaticha nasis nevela b'dover yavish shenas alach. It's the same thing would apply if I can transform a dover yavish into a lach. And how do you do that? Kigon shachaticha shenisraska. So I take a dover yavish and I chop it up. I make it into a liquid. Deliachar shenimocha, once it disintegrates, hareze hakol nivlal v'hakol mitztarif levatel asa iser v'memele poka ha-iser achal al yidei al hachaticha shemitchilosa.
Now the last sentence, how was it poka iser? Even though it did went into everything, it doesn't say it was mevatel because it was bottle b'shishim,
right? So let's see if he. Like let's read just one more paragraph. See, he says Nirish Yesh Lefarish. Maybe from the klipa we can go. He says the following: Yesh ladun bebir svaras rabbeinu tam, debedover lach lo shayach klipa, and therefore lo tzarach klipa. Right? You don't have the ability to take off klipa in a dover lach, and therefore you don't require klipa in a dover lach. What does he mean? Number one, this is the first possibility. Perusho debedover nivlal. Leka blia, right? Like we said before, the Dabar Nival, everything is mitztaref in order to be mevatel, is afilu b'chtei klipa. In other words, the k'tei klipa has no power to generate any sort of or transform any sort of isur in the case of a Dabar Lach. So it means that according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not that we're applying the principle of bittul, but we're saying that in a Dover Lach there was never a need for bittul. In other words, you don't need bittul because
it's mispashe.
Because it's this nivlal, correct. So if there's nivlal, then that bliya never really is concentrated in any one place.
That would be that one. The power of the lach would then be to make it usher, because now instead of just being b'chlei klipa, it's in everything.
So he's saying that when you have something that's hot, it can transfer its tam into a dover yavish. In other words, there'll be a mavliya process into a dover yavish. But when you have the same chamimus that's going into a dover lach, then since the entire lach is so to speak, in joining forces and integrating to one indivisible whole called blila, then what's going to happen is there's no mavliya. You know, normally chamimus is mavliya, but in this case, because the dover lach, the chamimus is not mavliya. So that's one way of saying it. The other way of saying it is Odilma Diliolam Ika Bliya Bimiktas Af Bidovra Nivlal. That Rabbeinu Tam would admit that there is a Bliya, a certain limited Bliya, even in the case of Lach. Ella, Hoilva Isa Mispashi Bechola Lach Luchas, since the Tama Isa now spreads out equally in the entire Lach Luchas, therefore Mimela Tomid Ika Shishim Kide Levatlo. We always have shishim to be mevatel that miktas blia. V'nira denaf gemina le'inyan chametz v'pesach ha'osu v'mashu she'im nomer delo tzor klipa v'dover nivla m'nei she'ena isu nivla bo. And therefore, there's not even a blia of k'dei klipa m'kei mistabedu adin namil gabi chametz v'pesach ma'she'en k'inim nomer that there is a blia, but lo tzarach kidei klipa b'dover nivlam neisha isim is pashim is batel b'chol lach luchas imkain. If you're activating the principle of bittul, legabi chametz b'pesach lo mahani bittul is shapir yaser, everything will be yaser. Od nafkamini lein klipa b'dover yavesh hanasa lach. If somehow you convert the yavesh into lach, we said before, by doing risuk. She'im nomer delo tzarach klipa b'dover nivlal b'vnei she'ena isur nivla b'klipa el b'dover yavesh. Here there was a bliya mistaber lomer dehecha she'nivla isur mitchila b'dover yavesh is nesar k'dei klipa v'shuv lo mahani v'ashachach nivlal isur she'b'klipa she'iyef shalakira el tzarach shishim levatel esak klipa aval im nomer delo tzarach klipa b'dover lach b'vnei she'a isur mispashet umizbatel b'chol lach luchis is shayach shapir lomar hachi. You could say that it's batel once you convert this yovesh into lach. Afim nasa lach rak lebasof, meaning it started as yovesh. Dechol sheni mocha achaticha memele poka isa klipa mimenu. Why? Because the lach, in a case of double lach, we always have shishim, we always have batel because of the way the tam is spread apart in the lach.
What does that mean?
So let's go over two nafkaminas. First nafkamina is, what happens if you have some isur which is not subject to bittul? If you're going to tell me that there was no blia to begin with because it was lach, then even in chametz b'pesach you could apply the principle of lach, and therefore you would not require klipa. But if you're going to tell me there was a klipa, but you have to be mevatel a klipa, and the principle of lach is that there's so much in the lach that it could be mevatel the blia, then in the case of chametz we can't apply that because there's no bittul in chametz, it's also b'mashu. The second afkamin is, what happens is you needed klipa because of a dover yavesh, and the dover yavesh then became a dover lach. If you're going to tell me that there was that the reason why in a case of lach you don't require klipa is because there was no blias isur, well, in this case it started yavish, and if it started yavish, there wasn't blias isur. But if you're going to tell me that the modus vivendi of lach is that it now sets up a din of bittul, well, okay, I transformed this yavish into lach. Now I can apply the principle of bittul. So it works in both ways. It can even work lakula or lachumra. In other words, let's take the tzad that there was never a bliya to begin with. So that's going to work lakula in the case of chametz for pesach where there's no bittul, but it's going to work lachumra in the case where you started with a dava yavish and then you transformed it into a dava lach. If on the other hand I take the other approach, that lach generates bittul, then that's not going to help me in the case of chametz, because chametz bepesach doesn't lend itself to bittul, it's also b'mashu, and here I have to be machber. On the other hand, in the case where it started as a klipa in yavish, now I can say that the lach is mevatel that tam of klipa.
Yeah, but what he's doing is he's playing loose up and back between what the concept of lach is of what tam is, because if you say tam ki ikar, so then, how are you automatically having, you know, a beetle? And what he does there is he says once it becomes lach, it's always bottled more than shishim, because all you have is tam, and tam is nothing. Tam is a nothing.
All right. And so he says now, maybe we can come back and explain the shach who quotes from Beinu Tam, and we're going to say that according to shach, in the case, for example, of Cham L'toch Tzonein, there is a Bliya B'miktas, but now what happens is that since the Cham is coming into Tzonein, and there's going to be a certain element of heat and Bliya, but now what happens is that it's Mispashet B'chol HaCholav, and Yesh Shishim Kedei Levatlo, so that we're identifying the Shach with the second Tzad, the second interpretation that we suggested before, about lach, that lach guarantees bittul. The mela eino osres achol of klal ulefiz emestabish yesh lahatu tavshil sheis bashel bo basar belo netilas klipa. We're going back now to the Ramah, who says in Siman Tzadiyalf that if you needed klipa, then you were mavashel, then you don't need, and there's no, everything is mutter. And the reason for that is because nimoach habasar. What happens is that the meat element in this tarovis now becomes nimoach through the process of bishul, and he doesn't recognize the klipa. Is kai gav the shenimocha on nisraska klipa memela poka iser klipa legamri, because now you have a tarovis of lach, and we said in the case of lach we guarantee bittul. Below dami l'mashe kosva tosa. Now we can come back and answer our original kasha, but Tosa says in Yerach and Ispashel Bagid that you're going to need shishim against the klipa as well. The hasam irish ahotzi habasam and akdera im klipasa. He took out the whole Yerach, and when he takes out the whole Yerach, he takes out the gid and the klipa that surrounds the gid. V'kai gavna I efshal lahatir atavshil bakdera im eimbo shishim kineged haklipa. And why don't you apply the principle of lach over here? The afgav lo nishar elatav haklipa b'toch hatavshil mikomakom hoil v'lo nimocha etzav haklipa. You still have the klipa because you took the klipa out of the kedera, so the klipa is alive and well. Therefore, you can't be mafkia the isur of the klipa. Only when you take the klipa itself and you dissolve it by cooking it, then you could say that now I'm going to apply the principle of bittul in the case of lach. But in this case, you're left with what? You're left with the klipa. You're holding on to the klipa. It never was dissolved. It was never nisrasek, and therefore, you know, nisrasek would help me to make it into a lach. That we can't say in this case. So what we're going to have now in this tarovis is the tam of the klipa, and that tam of the klipa, since it had a blias isur, is osur. And now you need shishim against the klipa. The only time that we say everything is mutter is when the klipa is nimocha, and it dissolves and it becomes lach.
It makes some sort of magical quality to the klipa itself, so that the klipa, if you take it out from the thing and it's still intact, so then it's osur, but it's only when it's nimocha.
Right, you have to take the klipa and make it into lach. How do you do that? By dissolving the klipa. How do you dissolve the klipa? Either you chop it up.
But why do I have to do that?
What or I cook it.
What if I just take the klipa out?
If you take the klipa out, then you did not convert that klipa into a lach. So how are you going to apply the principle of bittel and lach? Where's the bittel and lach if it's still in existence? I have the klipa, and now I have to be mevatel the tam of the klipa. I can change that klipa into lach, and then I don't need to search for bittel because you have your own guaranteed bittel, you know, built in.
Where's the tam altogether? Then once you take out the bittel, take out the klipa.
What do you say?
Where's the tam altogether?